Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
What a weekend at racing. What a final couple of holes we've had at Augusta, Georgia as well. Punters Postmortem will have a little bit of a Augusta, Georgia feeling about it. We'll keep you up to date. Not one person has moved on the 18th or the 17th or anywhere at Augusta. We're going to a playoff now with Justin Rose against Sergio Garcia. You can get bet live, tab.com.au. Sergio Garcia missing about a five-footer for birdie on the final hole. So they're just checking their scores, signing their cards. Then they'll be back on the 18th to come up the hill again and try and win the US Masters. What a dramatic final couple of hours it's been. I know he's a massive golf fan. Dean Lester joins us from Melbourne. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK. You're distracting my golf watching, I've got to say.
I know.
I'll fit this in, but my goodness, it's been riveting.
It's been fantastic, hasn't it? What a great championship, as it nearly always is, particularly the back nine on Sunday.
Just when you thought Sergio had become a winner, he just couldn't go get it over the line.
Yeah, but...
He still can. Yeah, he still can, but, that was a great chance at 18.
Yeah, led by three, trailed by two, got himself back.
Magnificent.
It's had it all. It's been fantastic. And they're good mates. You can see...
You can tell that, yeah.
Yeah, they're actually Ryder Cup teammates. It was a bad putt from Sergio on 16 and then on 18. They probably cost him, but he's still alive. He's not done yet.
No, he's not.
And they head out there and they're actually thumbs up for a good shot from each other and not too much when they miss a putt. But we'll keep a good eye on it. They're just in the scorer's tent at the moment. It's been fantastic. Great drama at Augusta. There was great joy and great disappointment at Royal Randwick on the weekend. Ronnie Duffersey, it was a day that had it all, and unfortunately we lost Al Moonquith.
We did, and we lost a jockey over the weekend as well, which is very, very sad, and our thoughts are with everyone, the Jones family and everyone involved there. But we had the star of the show in Winks, and this man from New Zealand, Murray Baker, he's a genius trainer. He's trained more winners, Group 1 winners in Australia than any other New Zealand trainer. I think he's up to about 20 now. And that is some filly, that Bonneville. She's a real strong staying filly. And obviously, Fox Play got her Group 1 there, and there was great racing all day round. And then the drama of the Sydney Cup, which... there's still news to come from that, whether it will or when it will go ahead.
It might have been a little bit clearer on telly, but I don't know. At the track, there was great confusion when you saw some, jockeys pulling up their mounts, the other jockeys going hell for leather. I know Damien Oliver on polarisation was disappointed. I'm sure in the cold, hard light of day, he'd have different thoughts regarding the safety of his fellow riders and the safety of all the participants involved. But I've got no doubt, after looking back at the incident a fair few times and probably even right at that moment, that stewards made the correct decision, Duff. There was massive confusion. There could have been carnage and they made the right call.
Definitely. Look, they didn't have a lot of time to act, about 45 seconds, I would have said. They would have been...
Tops.
They would have got to the mile there and they would have been looking at those two jockeys on the track. Chin was up, Doyle was still down with a cork leg, and then you had the Al Moonquith, who was shuffling around there trying to get up and get going again, and you had the loose who shot the barman, whether he was going to turn around and come back at the field there at one stage, and the decision had to be made, and it was the correct one. Unfortunately, who knows if polarisation would have won in a real race anyway.
You never know.
But it was just an incident of racing that I can't remember seeing it myself. But I suppose when you go past the winning post twice, That was the problem.
Yeah, it can happen. And Dino, when you have a look at her, I don't know whether the wide shots were showing it, but at the track, you know, they were trying to get the covering up around our Moonquith, and justifiably so. And you had the loose one, who shot the barman, was along the rail and heading directly towards him. And some very, very brave attendants were out the front of our Moonquith, you know, with their hands waving above their head, trying to steer who shot the barman away, which thankfully changed direction and went around the covering.
Yeah, okay.
It could have been really bad, so that's why I believe the stewards made the right decision.
Yeah. As you said, it's on the spot, and they had a lot to consume in a very short period of time, and they've made the decision. And I think the unfortunate element is that sort of half the field heard the callings, and yeah, if they'd all eased down, no one would have cared.
And having a good chat with Huey Bowman this morning, he made the point that, you know, he saw all the trouble happen, so he knew something was wrong. And Ronnie, the other jockeys who were above the incident, probably didn't quite understand what was wrong. So when clerks of the course and waving started happening, they would have been thinking, well, what? We don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that's right. They would have obviously, there was only a few horses behind our Moonquith when it happened. All those boys would have known.
And
maybe there would have been a bit of yelling and carrying on mid-race, be careful, be careful, be careful.
Right.
I'd suggest that would be happening during the race, but when you got horses up near the lead there, they may not have heard that. And then, you know, there was a little bit of confusion. I think maybe Corey thought he was only told that, you know, there's a loose horse. And another boy said, well, it was called off. So anyway, it's something I think the protocols will probably be looked at it for the future. Not that we hope it ever happens again.
Of
but, you know, whether you put some sirens around the track or some lights or, you know, anything you could just... wouldn't cost much to fix a problem like that up.
Duff, you're the one here that's ridden in a race. Would you think that when they straightened up, those five or six riders still rode for home strongly, would they have looked that far ahead that they could see that, you know, the track was cleared to keep riding on?
It was just round the bend a bit, Dino.
Was it? So they would have thought they just had clear track when they were riding them out.
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't have, if they didn't know about the incident, I would have doubted they would have been aware until they hit the post.
Post, okay.
Yeah. Then they would have seen it. Then they would have had to change direction, which I reckon they could have, Dino. But the one was the riderless horse was the wild card in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where it would have ended up. And it, you know, who knows? They made the right call. But do you have a siren in Melbourne, don't you, Dino?
Oh, well, I have a siren at the start. But they have, I mean, the biggest thing
wouldn't have helped.
Well, like when they went past with a lap to go,
because
it was a lap and a half race. The difference down here is the only thing we've got different is that, of course, we've got jumps racing, and this happens a bit. And we've got a lot of different protocols. We've got flags at every jump. We've got witches hats at sort of every point.
Yeah.
So that they can be marshaled around a jump. So we have a lot of different protocols down here in place with just jumps racing. So in a long race, it can be implemented as well.
All right. Now, Duff, we might try and get an update from Darren Pearce from the ATC throughout the program, if they've come up with a decision or not. But they are, many of the participants are sort of saying, well, we will go around again in a Sydney Cup. It is worth $2 million, so it is a fair incentive. Now, my question to you guys, it could be Anzac Day. They could move Warwick Farm to Randwick and Randwick to Warwick Farm to make up for that, to make it a bigger event. My question is, if you've just had that tough two-mile run for the likes of Polarisation, Chance to Dance, Pengley Pavilion, can you back up 2 weeks later for another one?
Yeah, probably could.
2.5 weeks, you could.
That's enough, Dino. Yeah.
17, that would be like Caulfield Cup to Melbourne. I know it's 2 mile, but
I think the problem would have been if they wanted – the ideal situation would have been to run it next week.
Yeah.
We're still in carnival time, but that can't happen with, you know, especially those European horses who they're trying to attract. And you know, look, if they've done had a ring around and
– So how are they placed with regard to quarantine now? Are they out of quarantine?
Well, I would say they're out of quarantine. I'd say they're out of quarantine, but I suppose they're still going to go back into quarantine to go back home, and we've got a Canterbury meeting programmed.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so there's a lot of thinking to do
logistics,
there.
Aren't
yeah, they? Yeah. So I'd say they'd be having a ATC and Racing New South Wales would be having a meeting today and just working out. You know, is it viable? You know, is that to put that $2 million up for grabs in 3 weeks' time? I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know.
And look, it goes without saying too that all our thoughts, prayers, condolences with the Jones family. You mentioned it. This terrible fallout at Warialda, where Darren Jones is a veteran jockey. Survived by his wife now and two teenage children. So the stark realities of horse racing, the highs and the lows and everything in between, Duff, all on display over the weekend, the good and the bad and the ugly, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. And our thoughts are with that other young lady still in hospital, Melanie.
Melanie Bowell.
Bowell, and she's not well as also, but hopefully we get some good news about her.
Yeah, big... hopefully, and you had lightning force the final three races, wasn't it, Dino, to be called off? And you've had really, really good weather, and all of a sudden you're copping a bit.
It was a glorious day, and we just got reports that, you know, there was a bit of rain coming from Geelong, and that's, you know, like an hour from Melbourne. So you think, oh, well, we might get a little bit wet later on. But then between Geelong and Caulfield was the meeting at Werribee, and it got abandoned because of lightning and heavy rain, and it just came in so quickly.
Yeah.
It was beautiful bright sunshine before race five, and race six was run, and when I was doing the post-race on the radio for race six in the headset, I could just hear all electrical things going on, and I was very quick to go inside. I'm quite happy to admit I'm a coward when it comes to lightning, so we're inside very quickly.
Well, that's the sensible play, isn't it? I don't know what more we can keep saying about Winks. I've got to say it was wonderful to be there. And I stated earlier, a lady next to me actually cried when Winks won. And I don't think she was the only one on course. That crowd of 26,801. Dino, I guess you guys in Victoria think, well, that's not that many. But that's as good as we get. You know, that's the pulling power of Winks. You know, she deserves to have 260,000 there. But 26,000, that's Sydney for you. Duff, but it was good. It looked great, and I mentioned earlier that it was the first time in Sydney I remember when the gates fly back, you get that Melbourne Cup cheer.
Definitely, and
I can remember
the first time I've felt something in that theatre of the horse as well.
Yeah, wasn't it packed?
Standing room only. They actually cheered her when she walked into the yard.
Just going to say, I thought the back. Probably five or six runs of Black Caviar's career became more like going to an event, like a concert, really, rather than going to watch a race. Mm. Has she got that feel about it? Because you just think, well, you're expecting the win, and it's just more to go and watch the show.
Oh, there's no doubt, and I haven't had that feeling since the TJ Smith, where Black Caviar arrived in town. And the anticipation and the way she strolled through the yard that day, and Winks was that was exactly the same on Saturday. So I suppose the spring path has got to be plotted now. Interesting, you know, she's such a draw card. We all want a piece of her, and we're even talking about, you know, changing the Craven Plate to Everest Day and putting, you know, all sorts of money at the Craven Plate just to keep her away from, the Caulfield Stakes?
Caulfield Stakes. let us have it twice.
That's right. So that'll be the next to-ing and fro-ing. It's the...
We only put two rivals against the last time that we get her down here.
Well, maybe you'll get her back if you do the same.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens. We might find out from the CEO of the ATC, Darren Pearce, is kindly, I'm sure it's a busy morning in at headquarters, but he joins us on the line. G'day, Darren.
It's okay.
Sydney Cup, mate, have we got some sort of conclusion yet?
It'll be finalised today. The most likely scenario as we speak is that it'll be run on Saturday the 22nd. We'll relocate the Warwick Farm meeting to Randwick and restage the race. We think that 11 of the starters will back up again. And there's some talk of whether we allow additional nominations or not, and that's sort of the fine detail that's got to be decided. But the most likely scenario is the race will be restaged on the 22nd for $2 million.
At Randwick?
At Randwick, yeah.
At Randwick, so the Warwick Farm meeting swapped. And that's been, that'll be a good result. And what would stop you calling for new noms? Is that just a protocol sort of thing?
Yeah, it's just with the final field declared and the circumstances of the day, it's just whether we allow the horses who were the original acceptors in the race to compete in that race, or whether we use the conditions of the race, which I think was 14 and 4 emergencies, to allow additional nominations. There may be a Derby horse or an Oaks horse. I know Leschetti Spirit's been mentioned in dispatches, and I think there was a horse from John Sargent's stable that might have run second in the Chairman's who was interested in nominating to run again. I think the connections of the runners would main concern would be around weights changing because of additional horses coming into the field. So that's a piece of detail we've got to cover off, and we haven't come to a final landing on that at the moment. But, the positive news is that, there's strong desire to restage the race. The 22nd at Randwick looks like the most suitable opportunity to do that. And if that's the case, we can hold the prize money at $2 million to get the Sydney Cup away.
So it stays at $2
million? Yes.
And the Anzac Day meeting, would that stay at Randwick or go to Warwick Farm?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of tradition around that. I remember moving it once for operational reasons, and we copped quite a bit of backlash from the RSL and veterans because there's some people who like to go to the march and then come across to Randwick after it, and you don't get that opportunity if you move it to one of our more suburban grounds. So, it's a bit of a challenge for Nevesh and the team, but I'm sure they're up to it, and Anzac Day would also be at Randwick.
Okay. Beautiful.
Okay, well, that's makes a lot of sense logistically for a lot of people who, that's a bit of a tradition, isn't it? So we do enjoy
it. And as I said, I moved it once before for operational reasons. And
you don't need that pain and suffering again.
Yeah, and I don't need it. I don't want to be called un-Australian again because I'm a very proud Australian.
Oh, of course.
It's one of those things that we'll work hard to manage.
And Darren, can I ask about Winks and this Craven Plate suggestion? Of course, we always look forward to seeing Winks as much as you possibly can. I'm sure as an administrator, you want to see Winks as much as you possibly can at your headquarters. The Craven Plate it is, isn't it? Is there a chance that gets upgraded and we maybe keep Winks in Sydney?
Yeah, that's on the table. We've got a calendar anomaly this year that happens sort of once every 6 or 7 years where we've got an extra week in the spring program. So the Everest Day is actually a day that adds a day to the spring program, and we've got to create a program around it. So whilst the Everest will obviously have the focus being the richest race in Australia and the first $10 million race in Australia, we want to have a strong support card. And the suggestion that sort of Racing New South Wales and the ATC are working with is making the support card a really attractive one. And being able to move the Craven Plate to that day and pump up the prize money to have the Everest and the opportunity to call for Winks to stay in Sydney and run in that race is a really attractive one to get the maximum audience there to launch the Everest. So that's certainly something that's on the drawing board between the ATC and Racing New South Wales. And it just comes down to, prize money and conditions and making sure that we can pull that off and attract Winks. It's a little bit like being a Las Vegas casino owner and having Elvis, isn't it? You want that sort of superstar there to draw the crowds in, and you can do all the marketing in the world, but nothing motivates a crowd more than a champion, and Winks is our champion of today, and we all love her.
Absolutely. What sort of prize money would you have to be looking at for the Craven Plate? Is there a magical figure there?
That's still up for grabs, TK, and it's sort of a discussion between Racing New South Wales and the ATC. So until that's concluded, okay, I wouldn't like to speculate. But, you're up against the Caulfield Stakes, which is a very serious race in its own right, and would certainly understand Winx's connections chasing that race. So it would have to be something competitive with that race to make it viable for Team Winx to stay.
Okay. And finally from me, mate, full support. I don't know whether you've heard our early discussion, but full support for the stewards. What's your view about the calling off the Sydney Cup? Correct call?
Yeah, we sat down with the stewards immediately after the race and said that safety had to come first. There was just...
Yep.
When they made the call, people are sort of judging them on what happened, that nothing did happen after the race. But, when they made the call, there was two stricken jockeys on the track. There was a stricken horse and a loose horse. They made it at when the horses were sort of between the 1600 and the 1200, and the circumstances they had at that stage when the jockeys hadn't cleared the track, our Moonquith was in a bad state, and Who Shot the Barman was loose. It was really the only decision they could make. There's certainly been some learnings from it in terms of some additional systems we can put in place to alert jockeys, and yeah, the industry has my assurance that that will be fixed very quickly. But in the circumstances they had between the 1600 and the 1200 when they had to make the call, it was the only call they could make.
Good on you, Darren. We thank you so much for your time this morning. And it looks like, not confirmed yet, but looks like it will be restaged on Saturday the 22nd at Randwick, and it'll be a relocation from Warwick Farm. Thanks so much for that, Darren.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
Darren Pearce, the CEO of the ATC, with that little bit of news. And Sergio Garcia now has two putts to win the US Masters and get rid of that tag is the best player never to win a Masters after Justin Rose carved his drive right and he only needed one putt. Sergio Garcia is a champion at Augusta, Georgia, and gets rid of that tag once and for all, and not only wins a major but wins the US Masters. So congrats, and Ryder Cup teammates embrace Justin Rose's errant drive up the first playoff hole. Cost him dearly. There you go. Did you get a result, Dino?
No, I just enjoyed it. They're not two that I sort of bet on. No. They don't really go to the line that hard, but Sergio has now. And I mean, the thing is that he burst onto the scene at Medina in the PGA, I think 1999, and we all thought, well, he was going to be the one that challenged Tiger. Mm. And it's taken 18 years, and he's finally got a major. Yep. So, no, well done to him, and it might open the floodgates. Who knows? Because it was a bit like Phil Mickelson was like that for a long time.
Yeah, well, he was the child prodigy in so many ways.
Yeah.
He was the next superstar. Then he virtually gave the game away when the yips got to him.
Shockingly.
And he got, he had a case of the shanks there at one stage as well. And then he brought himself back, and golf is not an easy game to do that. So congratulations to Sergio Garcia. And everything that goes with winning at Augusta, Georgia. And Justin Rose has won major, would have dearly loved to have won this one again, but Europe wins the last two at Augusta. Denny Willett the year before, and now Sergio Garcia. We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back with all of your calls. So if you call now, 13 53 53, just repeating that news from Darren Pearce, the CEO of the ATC, 22nd of this month, isn't it? Yeah, so it's not that far away. The restaging of the Sydney Cup, hopefully, and that meeting will be at Royal Randwick. Still, the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed as far as that decision. Let's start taking your calls now on Punters Postmortem. All the excitement of Sergio Garcia winning his first major, knocking over Justin Rose on the first of the playoff holes. It's all about, you heard the news from Darren Pearce, the CEO of the ATC, regarding the Sydney Cup. It's more than likely the Sydney Cup now restaged at Royal Randwick on the 22nd, hopefully with a 14-4, so 14 in the field and maybe the four, or whether they call for nominations or not, Duff. I guess that's up to, it's interesting to see. I guess it's not as easy as we think, is it? Weights change and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's definitely something you've got to think about, whether they do call for fresh noms. And interesting, Darren brought up Lasquetti's spirit there. So, you know, that maybe they want to run, which has changed the whole complex of the race again, being with her racing pattern. So, yeah, we'll leave that to them. But it sounds like it's all positive that it's going to be go-ahead.
I know you probably don't want to stretch your three-year-old filly out of 3,200, but Bonneville might take some catching too.
Yeah, she was in the race, yeah. So she was outstanding on Saturday.
What about her?
Yeah, she's a beauty.
I think, Dean, I'm not too sure whether you saw it, the helicopter shot, which I love, in replay form, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. Where,
not June. But how far back when the home turn, they kicked clear. And I think Huey even got a little bit of a shock about how far back he was. The amount of ground she had to make up Bonneville.
Yeah, no, it was a terrific win. I mean, you knew the race was going to be busted open by Lasquetti Spirit. Yep. And there was at some stage you were going to be a long way off the speed, but Bonneville just ate it up late. And I think, Duff, if I was going to take home one of the two Baker Forsman horses, I'd take the filly over the colt, I think.
Definitely. And Bowman's praise of her, just talking to him yesterday was very, very high. He thinks, you know, she's as good as any of his Oaks winners. He said probably Streamer was as good as a, but not at a distance.
Not at a distance,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, so class-wise, but he said this filly has got class. And
well, Chia Valentina placed in a Caulfield Cup the following spring after her Oaks win.
You mentioned Samantha Mist to us this morning as well.
Of course, of course. She speaks for herself.
So apart from, I mean, it's still, it's high praise, that's what we're saying, and geez, she was good.
He thinks she's definitely a Caulfield Cup type.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks perfect to me for that.
Let's go to the open line, 13-53-53. Sean, thank you for waiting, mate.
No, mate, that's okay. I just wanted to ask about the Sydney Cup and the noms and stuff, but you've already pretty much answered it for me, so...
Right. Okay. Anything else we can help you with?
I just wanted to ask Dino as well. Is Miss Promiscuity gone to Adelaide, or is she spelling...
Oh, she might go to Adelaide. She'd be very close to the end of her career, Miss Promiscuity, I would think. She was hopeless on the wet ground in the Galaxy. But, she might go to Adelaide and have a go at the Sangster. She ran very well in it last year.
Okay. Good on you, Sean. Thanks for that. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from owners saying, look, as owners of a Sydney Cup runner that went around on the weekend, we believe that the original acceptances should stand.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, they'd have a. If I was one of those owners, I'd have the same argument.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's. I think that's what Darren was pretty well saying this morning. But
because the entries were taken so far out for the championships,
Everyone's had their fair crack. If you wanted to be in it,
you've
had a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
If you wanted to be in it, you had months to nominate, didn't
you? Exactly.
Dino, any chance the Melbourne Cup prize money will be raised to shut up these Sydneyites up with the Everest rubbish that only the wheelers and dealers can get into? John from Melbourne.
You can put as much money as you like on a race. It's not the Melbourne Cup.
No, I agree with
that. That's right.
Melbourne Carnival will always be the Melbourne Carnival.
Exactly right. So it's, I think it's a great initiative. It'll be interesting how it works out. And, the slots have all been sold, haven't they?
So
there's interest, and now the wheeling and dealing commences, I suppose.
And I don't know whether it's, I agree with the email saying it's for all the rich people. They're the one that's going to lose. You know, the first slot gone is for all those battlers with the slipper winner. So.
And this is the thing that will probably hold the race up. The fact of the matter is, if you've got a horse fast enough over 1,200, you'll get a start in the race.
And it costs you nothing.
Whether you...
You might sell off part of your prize money to someone that's got a slot, and things like that, and you might have a good horse, but it may be an aging horse that might only have one shot at it. You're not going to buy the slot for 3 years, so
you take someone
with the slot owner and do a deal for 1 year.
I can't knock innovation in racing, and it's an innovation.
Because of the...
Good luck to it.
Because of how it's structured, will it get black type in time?
I think they'd be working at that if it becomes a success, but you just can't put on a race and put black type on it straight away.
Oh, no, not obviously, but because it's not just a normal entry, is it? It's a different sort of structure.
You two learned a gentleman, answer me this. Just say I've got a colt, right? It wins the Everest and against all comers. And then...
Runs a track record too, add that.
Okay, runs a track record. It's not black type.
Correct.
The race. Are you going to try and tell me because it's not black type I'm worth less at stud?
Well, it's perception, really.
But if it comes up,
a telling of the story.
It's won the Everest, a $10 million race. It'll be there.
What? Because the toffs say it's not black type. It's not going to be worth as much when you go to stud.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's a running race and it's run very fast and beaten good horses. So, of course, it should be highly regarded at stud. But the curious nature of the black type with regard to breeding.
Mm. It is. I know what the industry thinks. They think differently to me. Hello, Robert.
G'day. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Randwick Saturday.
Yes, mate.
Sweet and sour.
Mm.
the Sarah Bet, there was no ambulance on course, or it was on course, but it was done on the scene. It never came to the jockeys on the ground. It was still stationary over at the 1,600-metre chute.
Mm-hmm.
Next race, it stayed there again. I would have thought that would have been illegal, and I think there should be something said about it.
Okay.
Well, isn't there two ambulance follow the field around?
Yeah, there's two.
It did not.
I couldn't tell. Robert, well, I was at the track, but I wasn't watching the ambulance.
Well, where was the ambulance when the two boys were on the ground?
Well,
I would have thought they'd been two laps.
People were running out onto the track, but there was no ambulance. It was stationary over at the 1600 chute.
That's remarkable.
And I can tell you, I had my glasses on it. There was no one in it.
Okay.
And I think
there was no one in that ambulance?
Any ambulance.
And no driver?
No, the ambulance didn't move.
Okay. Was there another one?
No, that was the only ambulance on the course that I could see.
Okay.
The next race started after the fall. It was behind the 1600, and it remained stationary the whole time.
You've got me on the hop, Robert. I can't.
I think you can look at a replay and believe.
Oh no, I'm not doubting your story at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ambulance men certainly didn't help the injured jockeys. Well,
no, I know that. Yeah, I was keeping an eye on the injured jockeys, and we saw Blake Shin trying to get James Doyle up, eventually getting James Doyle up, picking up James Doyle's whip, getting him to the safety.
I'd say the field being two laps, it wouldn't follow two laps.
I just think
they won't run a race down here unless ambulances are following.
That's right. A country race meeting stops because of it. Here we are at Raleigh
Well, every race meeting stops, Robert. Yeah. There's no race goes ahead without ambulance on
two.
Course.
Okay.
Says Dino.
It was probably there, but it wasn't used.
I'm sure Ray Thomas would be following something like that up. Good on you, Robert. No, you
good
got it.
Thank you. See you later.
Yeah, the ambulance couldn't come when there's another lap to go, and to those boys, those horses had to come around. The last thing we needed was an ambulance on the track there.
It would be on the inside, wouldn't it?
Yeah, on the inside, yeah. Look, I think we'll get a correct ruling on that one.
We might try and answer that with Mark Van Gestel, okay? Yeah. If we can, by the end of the program.
Yeah.
We might, Tanya, if we can, try and put that to Mark. Tanya's on the phone, but we'll try and find out. I'm sure some people are listening. 13:53:53. Could you guys explain the Everest hot potato? The Everest is going to be on October 14. It's over 1,200 metres hot potato. It's worth $10 million. You've got to buy your slot for 3 years. That's $1.8 million. But once you buy your slot, you can sell it, you can divide it, you can lease it, you could do whatever you want with it. You could keep it and maybe have it empty, but if you've got it empty, you've done your $800,000 for that particular year. So that's why we've seen the deals done with other runners, like She Will Reign will be the best example, Ronnie. But that's basically the Everest, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It's an American, they call it the Pegasus.
Yep.
It seemed to work for them.
Obviously, I think they've just boosted it.
$16 million now.
Yep.
$16 million. So they must think it works. It's going to be... I think it's going to be exciting to see how everything unfolds and what sort of field we get, which should be very competitive when you're talking that sort of money. Who wouldn't want to run in a $10 million race with no pay-ups as far as if you're approached? So, you know,
of course.
The owners of She Will Reign, all they've got to do is have their horse ready, and I'd say they'd be racing for at least $5 million.
Yeah, and if I've got a slot, I'd be looking for a fast horse to take my slot and... do the financial deal, and that's what it is. It's just be some sort of financial arrangement. Hello, Ken. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. Have you got an explanation regarding the ambulance for us?
Yeah, Mark Van Gestel was on
Jimmy's show yesterday, yep.
Yeah, yesterday at 7 o'clock, and he explained that there was an ambulance on the home turn and there was also an ambulance at the starting gate.
Right.
And they also had a representative in the mounting yard, like on mobile, and he was actually one of the first people to run out onto the course.
There you go.
The doctor was the first bloke on the course.
Yeah. Good on you, Ken. Yeah. We thank you so much for that.
Trellis.
Well, that would help. It was Richard who rang early, I think. So there's an explanation. So they were bases covered there, which is so important, isn't it? I think it's the only sport, isn't it, where an ambulance actually follows the participants around. It just shows how dangerous it is, and unfortunately we found that out again on the weekend at Warialda with the tragic passing of Darren Jones, veteran jockey, killed, unfortunately, in the workplace because of a fall. Aaron, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, TK. How you going?
Well, thanks, mate.
Mate, I just want to give a mention to Bernadette Cooper, how good a horsemanship or horsewomanship, you want to call it.
Horsemanship.
She done wearing it up, who shot the barman?
How good was it?
Mate, she had the microphone in one hand, she leaned over and grabbed it, and she's just, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was.
And to hold her horse with one rein and the microphone there as well. Mm. It was a bloody big microphone. The thing's twice as big as a hand.
Yeah, she's a real, not only does she do a good job with the mic, she's a very good judge.
Yeah, she gives good tips too.
She does. She does.
Nah, she's well worth the money.
She not only corralled it in the second lap, she nearly had it on the first lap, I'm told as well. Apparently, I could be wrong, but she went to grab it at the mile there.
Yeah.
And apparently one of the other clerk of the course says, no, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Missed it.
Yeah, and he had too much pace for him.
I watched it a couple of times in the replay and went, wow, that was brilliant. Good honour.
Well done. Thanks, Aaron, for that.
Terrific. No worries, TK.
Nice to hear from you, mate. TK, how can I have a quaddie, put $40 on, I get the first winner in Melbourne, then the races are called off, so I get $22 return for the quaddie. Should have been refunded, MG from Penrith. Geez, this is the day you probably need Glenn Munsey. Do you have an answer there? He wanted his $40 back instead of getting the $22 after getting the first leg back, MG from Penrith. Dino, can you help me?
No.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Your bet's underway, I guess. I don't know how they'd work it out, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, they just pay out on whoever had Ken's dream in the quaddie. So that's how it'd work. So it's the same as our quaddie in Sydney. You had Winks and then you had the field because there was a no race, and then you had to finish with Fox playing Secret Agenda. So everyone's alive after two legs. So it more or less becomes a double, really.
Yeah.
In Sydney, you know, that's how it played.
Here's a curious one. It's worth asking, Dino, if the same thing happened between, say, the 2 and the 300-metre mark in the Melbourne Cup as what happened on Saturday in the Sydney Cup, what would have happened to the race? Wave them around? Just curious, fellas. Cheers.
It's a very good point. It's something we hope we don't have to deal with, but I'm...
No, of course.
I know it's... Yeah, look, I think they would have tried their best to run the race, but yeah.
If you've got a horse that breaks down at the winning post,
yeah.
or 50 metres before the winning post on the first time down the straight in a Melbourne Cup,
yeah,
and there was a jockey on the track, I don't think you'd have too many other options.
I don't think so either.
I agree, but I mean the way it's done in the jumps races, for instance, is there's a series of witches hats put out over about a 200-metre period.
That's right.
Mm.
There's a flag wave, a person waving a flag about 200 metres further down the track, telling them there's two different coloured flags that the jumps riders are aware of.
Right.
One's you'll be waved around the upcoming jump or pull up, basically. So there's that sort of protocol, but I don't...
But that protocol wouldn't be in place for a Melbourne Cup.
For a Melbourne Cup, no.
You've only got that protocol in place for
jumps racing. Yeah, that's right. It would probably be the same scenario.
Well, let's just keep fingers crossed. We'd never have to worry about it. Yeah. He wasn't being smart. He was just being curious.
Yeah,
it's a worthwhile question to
ask.
Let's hope we don't ever. Come to that. Just repeating that news. Looks like the Sydney Cup will be restaged on Saturday the 22nd at Randwick. And there'll be a push for just original participants to be involved, I imagine. Duff. Hello, John. Good morning.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Well, thanks, John.
The guy that just rang up said that he had the first leg.
Yeah.
He laid out $40 and only got $22 back. Look,
yep.
I don't understand what he's saying, that everyone should get their money back, just called off because it's only one race. But he obviously had a few selections in the first leg.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, there could be blokes who invested $40 and got $200 back.
If he was just stared out, you got your right money because he paid $3.30.
Yeah.
And you got $3.40 for your money if you had him one out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that's the way they do it. That's why they do it. What do you do?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Anyway, good on you, mate. Well done.
Appreciate it.
John, there'd be a million mathematical equations to work that sort of stuff out.
The amount of units you have and how many horses you've got running. Yeah.
Yep, 2A maths doesn't qualify me to get involved in that. All right. Thank God. Hello, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian.
Do you think putting the money into the Craven Plate to keep Winks in Sydney would turn other trainers off to setting their horses for the race just to get beat by a champion?
All it comes down to programming. Maybe if we kept Winks in town, all our other horses may go to Melbourne to try and win the Caulfield Stakes. So I think she's a pretty attractive draw card for anyone.
It's a bit of a shame.
Remember Melbourne paid an appearance fee for Kim Kardashian when Black Caviar was racing. They should have just gave the money to Black Caviar.
Yes. it's getting to that stage where, you know, people, it won't be long before we're throwing money at appearance fees for horses like her.
Oh, I think the crowd would just come in just to see her in the parade ring.
Exactly.
Yeah, good on you, Brian. Well done. Regarding that Craven Plate, the boosting of prize money, I guess...
It's not assured yet. It's only talking about it so far.
What are your thoughts, Dino?
I don't like it. I think not Sydney Melbourne, but I think they'd want to keep winning Group 1s with her so she can win the Caulfield Stakes. I think the Craven Plate 2 weeks before the Caulfield Cup's been a fantastic lead-up for your Sydney horses going to the Caulfield Cup, and that would change, and I know it would be on the back of one very important horse, but it would want to get sorted out very early because it would be a waste otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a Sydney-Melbourne thing either, Dino, but I don't mind administrators trying to think about these sorts of
course,
stuff. You know, like,
of course.
It's all about promoting the industry, and the more people you get...
You reckon their $10 million day, $10 million race would...
She'd overshadow the Everest.
Correct. And that's a bit of a worry for its first running, isn't it?
So I guess I'd probably like to see another day boosted apart from the Everest day.
Yeah.
But then again, I want to see a Group 1 sprint on Melbourne Cup Day. So,
okay.
I'm a little bit different. It's a long day waiting for the Cup.
Oh, I agree. I think about race 4, a really big feature race, and break up the day fantastically well.
I think we just need, obviously, you know, and people go, oh, TK, there's not going to be one extra person through the gate and all, but I understand all that.
Just for entertainment value.
But I'd still like to see one more decent race on Melbourne Cup Day.
Run the Coolmore.
Yeah, would that fit in? Because my sprint theory doesn't fit into the programming, does it, Dino? You can't...
No, they wouldn't do that because they want the three-year-olds to back up in the Dali a week later.
Yeah,
The Meyer Classic, which for the Mile Mares race, used to be on Melbourne Cup Day. It wasn't called the Meyer Classic then. Then they changed it to Derby Day. So maybe it's a...
Anyhow, we can have this discussion round...
You can work that one out with
round them. October.
Yep.
Harold, good morning to you.
Good morning, TJ and Dino.
Hello, Harold.
Two quick ones. Winks, in second gear, she took a little... I-class was three gears. Might have been the track, but to me, she wasn't 100%. I think she went under a bit of duress.
Ooh, okay.
I think, you know, you might find out more later on today or...
Is he still there, Harold?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, go. Sorry, mate. Yep.
I love her like everybody else, Sam, but if there's anything wrong with her... she'd have to be retired now. The Everest, listen, I might be going off early, but I'm sticking with Hootson. Is it Hootson?
Hootson, yeah.
Yep. I've done me down the slipper, but look, over the wet tracks, there's been a different lane for a lot of different races, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think, you know, look, I'm not taking it away from She Will Reign. She was dominant. No two ways about it, but I'm sticking with Hootson.
Okay.
I'm just a bit worried about your tackle catching, and that's all.
So you should be.
Good on you, Harold.
Hey,
good to hear from you. I don't know about Winks being tested. She appeared to pull up extremely well. She'll go for a nice spell now and come back for what we hope will be a third successive Cox Plate. Horses to follow Geez, we haven't really missed Glenn that much, have we?
No.
Horses to follow, Ronnie?
I'm going to stay on Ravi's back, run fourth in the last race.
Yeah, nice
there.
Run.
She wasn't ready, and you know, she could go in, you know, maybe to Scone or Brisbane and have be very, very competitive all the way through the winter.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Dino, have you got one?
Chris Waller produced a nice import that won on Saturday here. Life Less Ordinary won race two. He'll be winning again, and out of the same race, horse called Rockstar Rebel. I still think he'll win the South Australian Derby. He just needs blinkers on. He's ticking over fine, but he was beaten favourite on Saturday, but he's going okay.
All right. And Dino, quick one. Yeah, what about Kurt? Have we barred Kurt? No, we haven't. We haven't heard from Kurt.
He's gone back to stonemasoning.
Never heard from Kurt.
He did have a 3-year backlog, so he had to catch up with his stonework.
I bet you used to have nightmares about Kurt. Poor old Dino. Did you see this
He used to hammer me. Come back, Kurt.
Why not make the Everest 1600 to suit Winx Herbert? Well, because it's a 1200-metre race. She'd win it if she got set for it. I've got no doubt about that.
Yeah, Chris Waller was talking about that yesterday, wasn't he? That if it could be done, he'd try it. But it's just, yeah, the history of the third Cox Plate's overwhelming.
Only equal history.
Yes. Well, maybe they've got an eye on a fourth.
Maybe they've got an eye on the fourth.
Yeah.
Because you only equal history.
Yep.
Fourth would be history making.
It would.
We look forward to it. Dino, we've been quite profound today.
We have. We've been distracted by the golf, profound, everything.
We've solved absolutely nothing, but it's been wonderful discussion.
Always
fun. We do. Thank you. Thank you, Duff.
See you guys.
Good on you, mate. And just confirming, Saturday 22nd at Randwick. It's not done dusted yet, but that is the likely restaging of the Sydney Cup, hopefully still worth $2 million. Whether it's just the original participants or there'll be extra noms, it's a matter of watch this space from the ATC.